You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
It's been a year now that I've been working with the Lutheran Hour. In that time, I've become a suitcase man. My job includes writing and preparing these broadcasts. My job also includes travel. Lots of travel. So my suitcase is always out, not very far from the door of the house. It doesn't take much effort for me to throw a few things into the suitcase and head off to the airport. Oh, it wasn't that way before. Then the suitcase was buried in the attic. You know how that goes. The only time the suitcase comes out is for summer vacation, and what a chore it is to pack. Ah, but the Lutheran Hour changed my life. You're listening to a suitcase man, and I hope I'm speaking with suitcase people. Hebrews chapter 13 says, "We do not have a permanent city here, but we look for the one that is coming." Today's the end of another year. If nothing else does, December 31st reminds us that we are on a journey through life. The traditional theological words are pilgrim, sojourners, exiles, aliens. There's a hymn that says, "I'm but a stranger here, heaven is my home." You can use any words you want. I'm picturing it today in terms of a suitcase, always ready to go to places unknown. The point is this: we do not have a permanent city here, but we look for one that is coming. Now, if I read it right, we don't like that. We want permanence. We want stability. You've heard the famous words, haven't you? "We've never done it that way before." We yearn for stability. We want things that we can depend upon yesterday and today and tomorrow. And there's nothing wrong with that desire. It comes from God, our Creator. God, who changes not, has placed in you and me a desire for the unchanging. The Creator not only gave you that desire, but He also surrounds you with so many things that make for stability. Your local church, for example, is an element of stability in your life. At least, I hope it is. I hope you have a local church where you can worship regularly and hear a Bible-based message. If that's not the case, or if your health prevents you from getting out, this program can be a constant stabilizing element in your life. God has surrounded us with other institutions that give some sense of permanence. Schools do that. They provide continuity from generation to generation. The family. Oh, the family. What a bulwark. What a feeling of stability the family should provide. After each day of being assaulted by this changing society, we can go home and take refuge in comfortable surroundings with familiar people. The government, too, is a divine institution that gives stability instead of anarchy. Every place we look, we see that God, our Creator, has given us things that make for stability. Why, even the fact that we can compute the beginning of a new year comes from the fact that God has created our solar system with a dependable regularity. The Creator made morning and evening, seed time and harvest, setting our earth in its orderly journey about the sun. All of these things, calendars, governments, families, and the like, are creations of a wonderful Creator who knows that we, His creatures, like stability. Yes, we do want something permanent. We want the eternal. The problem comes when we forget that we're God's creatures and we look for our stability in the wrong places. We get satisfied with our earthly status quo. Or if we're not satisfied with our present status quo, we strive to improve our earthly lot. When we complain about difficulties in life, some wit will always pop up and say, "Well, it's better than the alternative." And you know, too often, you and I agree. We forget that here we have no permanent city. but we are supposed to look for the one that is coming. The story is told about a little child who fell out of bed during the night. The child's father heard the thud and got up to investigate. When Dad found out what had happened, he smiled and asked the child, "How come you fell out of bed?" The child answered, "I stayed too near the place I got in. I stayed too near the place I got in." It's very easy to keep our feelings and thoughts so attached to the things near us that we forget to progress. We forget that calendars change, that today's one of those days. We forget that families change through birth and death and marriage, and unfortunately, sometimes through divorce. We forget that our political institutions are impermanent. That's what elections are about. We forget that churches change. The change ought not to be in doctrine, of course, but there are changes in things like the language of worship, architecture, and so on. Schools change, and on and on and on it goes. That's what New Year's is about, a regular reminder that here we have no permanent city. The only thing that does not change is God and His Word. "I am the Lord," He says in Malachi. "I change not." Everything else, including the wonderful institutions that God has given us, the institutions that help stabilize your life, everything else changes. Everything changes except God. The question now is, are you a pilgrim person? Do you believe that here you have no abiding city? Are you looking for the one that is to come? The question really is about idolatry. Are you looking for stability in God, or are you finding it in the things of this life? The answer of sinful humanity, our natural answer, is to look for stability any place but with God. Just as Adam and Eve hid from God after they had sinned in paradise, we run from the Creator, and we seek our life and stability in other things. We seek stability in the things that are not eternally stable. Where are the places you go for permanence? Your family? Oh, it's a blessing. But it is a blessing that one day will be taken from you. Remember Job. Do you go to your wealth? You can't take that with you. Remember the farmer who decided to build bigger barns? God told him, "You fool, tonight you will die." Do you go to your health and fitness programs? Time marches on. Exercise and health foods and facelifts only delay the inevitable. Where have you been going in your quest for stability and permanence? Since sinful humanity by nature runs away from God and not to Him, our sinful humanity is going to all the wrong places. Really, the only permanent thing that results from going away from God is eternal death in hell. That's a permanent thing, and a terrible prospect. That's a permanence that your Creator does not desire for you. Here we see what a magnificent Creator and God we have. Our Heavenly Father, who sees us run away from Him, our God who sees us seek permanence in the impermanent things of this life, our Creator who gave us stabilizing institutions to help us through our earthly life, is also a magnificent Redeemer. The Father has given to you a Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, on the one hand, Jesus Christ is true God. He does not change. In Hebrews chapter 13, a few verses before our text, the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. The Savior is the unchangeable Son of God. He was here before the foundation of the world was laid, and He will be here after this world is no more. He is an unchanging Savior who gives stability to His people when we are rocked by change. When your spouse dies, when you file bankruptcy, when you go off to college, when your children leave home, when you retire, when you have aged to the point that your body won't do what you want it to, whenever change devastates you, your Savior changes not. He is your rock. He is your bulwark. He is your fortress. He can guide you through the chaos of life. For Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he does it with compassion. For Jesus Christ is not only true God, but he is also true man, born of the Virgin Mary. He knows what it's like to be a pilgrim and sojourner through this world. He was conceived and born of the Virgin Mary. That brought him into this world of time. He grew and he aged. He had birthdays. He knew about New Year's observances. If ever there were a suitcase man, it's your Savior. He said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Here he had no permanent city. Even though the whole world is his, he is Lord of lords and King of kings. His last journey was the journey to Jerusalem and the cross. There he died for sins. He didn't die for his sins. He's the sinless Son of God, like a lamb without blemish and without spot. Well, what sins did he die for? Well, your sins and mine. And among all our sins that Christ died for, he suffered punishment in your place for all those times when you and I commit idolatry. All those times when we expect things in this world to be permanent. All those times when you place your hopes for permanence in earthly things and not in God. All those times when you misinterpret the words, change and decay and all around I see, O thou who changest not, abide with me. For we so easily misinterpret those words to mean that the people and institutions of this earth should never change. All the times when we, like the child who fell out of bed, stay too close to the things at hand and do not progress in our thoughts and devotions to the permanency found only in God and Christ. All those sins and all others were forgiven when this pilgrim, this sojourner, your Savior, went outside the city walls of Jerusalem to die for your sins. Outside the city walls, he rose to life. Risen and ascended, he now offers you life. He offers you a life that will be permanent, that will be stable, that will be unchanging. Because I live, Jesus says, you shall live also. Do not be troubled, he says. Believe in God and believe in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, because I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you home with me, so that you will be where I am. That place is the new Jerusalem, the city above, your heavenly home. That's what the Bible is pointing us to when it says, we do not have a permanent city here, but we look for one that is coming. There we will not use the words pilgrim or sojourner. There we will never stumble or fall. There the suitcase will be put away forever. The only permanent thing apart from Jesus Christ is change, decay, and eternal death. But with Jesus Christ, the change and decay of earth leads to the permanence, the stability, and the joy of your heavenly home. Well, that's there, and we are here. We look forward to heaven, but for the time being, we are here on earth. So let's not unpack our bags. Let's not settle into this world. There's no better time than right now for you to assume the mind of a pilgrim. A woman who was sick and in great pain asked her doctor, how long will I have to lie here and suffer? The physician answered and said, just a day at a time. Today and each day is the time for you to assume the mind of a pilgrim. There's no better time than today to remember that when the church bell rings, it's a signal that you have one more opportunity to fix your heart more firmly upon God and Christ, the only place where true joy is to be found. There's no better time than right now to begin the habit of daily devotion, to read the Bible and pray to God. Yes, daily devotion is a habit. It's a habit of pilgrims. Just as travelers consult the map, we consult God's Word for daily guidance, There's no better time for you to adopt the mindset of a pilgrim than right now. The story is told about a young man who approached an elderly man and said, "Oh, I'm so happy. My parents are going to let me go to college and study law. That's been my greatest ambition." "Very well," said the old man. "I'm sure you'll be a good student of the law." "And then what?" "After I graduate, I'll start my practice." To that, the old man again asked, "And then?" "Well, I'll work hard and be honest. My reputation will spread and people will give me their confidence." "And then?" "I'll make money, marry a good wife, and set up my own home." "And then?" "We'll raise our children in the right way. We'll give them every possible opportunity we can." "And then?" "Well, I'll retire from business, I suppose. I'll be happy over the success of my children. My wife and I'll have a peaceful old age." "And then?" "Then, I suppose I can't live forever. Like everybody else, I suppose I'll have to die." "And then?" The old man looked quietly at the youth. "And then?" Let this New Year's message be a reminder that we do not have a permanent city here, but we look for one that is coming. Amen.